This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good afternoon, and happy New Year's Eve to each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to thank you for being here with me on New Year's Eve, and I want to wish you and yours a very, very happy New Year. May it bring you all that you hope for and more. Please be safe out there. Take care of one another. That's one of the things that I want you to hear from me today. Make sure everybody gets home safely. Please do not drive. If you've had any cocktails, call that Lyft or Uber. Make sure your friends and family all get home safe. And I wish you all the best from me to you for a wonderful 2025. I can't wait to come back and be with you live for my first show in 2025 on January 6th. I'll be back in the chair. And again, my thanks to everyone at Civic Media for giving me a little bit of time off. So we're going to close out this segment before we have some of that special curated content that we'll have for you for the rest of this Maggie Dawn Show on New Year's Eve. We're going to close it out with a little bit more of Harry Connick Jr. and What Are You Doing on New Year's? Thanks for sharing it with us here at Civic Media. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. But I thought
you're listening to the best of the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy New Year. You just heard him, folks. His name's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor for Civic Media. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. We've been recombobulating 2024, and then we're going to precombobulate 2025, give us some things to keep your eyeballs on. We just talked about the fact that we, in the state of Wisconsin, on a local legislative basis, or statewide legislative basis, had an election with fair maps, finally. We had Dems pick up a bunch in the state legislature in highly competitive races. What was the sort of final batting averages coming out of the fall election?
Yeah, so the in the assembly, I would say the Democrats maybe got a little bit less than I was expecting, that many people were hoping for. There was a real chance that they could flip the chamber. They came up five seats short. So it's going to be a 54 to 45 balance in the Wisconsin State Assembly and a Republican majority there, much smaller than the near supermajority status that they had previously. So Democrats were able to pick up 10 seats there, which is significant, and narrow that margin quite a bit. And then I think the real terrific performance that Democrats had in the legislature was in the state Senate. So there were five races there, four that were either, you know, previously a Republican held or had a Republican incumbent, and then another that was a Democratic seat. Brad Paff was the state senator there. And, you know, it was like, okay, these are the five races that are going to be the most competitive in the state Senate. Democrats won all five. So they were able to, there we go. They were able to pick up all five of those seats, narrow, you know, end the Republican supermajority in the state Senate and get it to an 18-15 breakdown and really put the Senate majority in play for 2026 when the rest of the chamber will be on the ballot. So I think, you know, that is a really, really that's something that, you know, Wisconsin state Senate Democrats can really be proud of there.
Yeah, I think overall a big win for democracy, small d, because, again, competitive districts should always be the point. It's how we ensure that our government is actually responsive to us. And I've been heartened to see these changes on the state level, right, on the state and local level here in Wisconsin. You know, everybody pays attention to the national political discourse, but the saying is all politics is local. And that's not only true on a grassroots organizing basis, it's true on the impact measure as well. The things that really impact your quality of life the most are the things that are being done by state and local government, which, you know, if we quizzed 100 people, right, walked out and talk to the first 100 people we met on the street, Dan, I'd wager that less than 20% of them could likely name their alder person, their alderman, alderwoman, and their state senator and legislator. You know, and it's these are the people that by far impact what's happening the most.
Impact your schools, impact your healthcare access, impact like all sorts of different things about your local economy. Absolutely. And I think democracy to me is built from the ground up.
Yeah.
And it is from these local races. It's from places like state assembly or city council or your school board or whatever it might be. So I think, you know, as we look ahead to next year, there's going to be a lot of those types of races that we're seeing. But it's also really important to recognize, you know, this is if you're feeling, you know, disillusioned by Trump's election, whatever it might be. You need to start by looking local. You need to start by looking at your local office. That's where you can make the most impact, and that's what has the most impact on your day-to-day life.
One of the things, Cardi, can you turn my levels up just a little bit?
Yes, I can.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. One of the things that I often struggle with is trying to explain to people that despite all the stuff they hear, how incredibly like nonpartisan the vast majority of government operations are. Like,
right. There's not a right like, and left do you to want, like snow removal.
Yes, I was just going to say, do you want your garbage picked up? Do you want the snow removed? Do you want a vibrant educational system, good public libraries, your potholes filled? You know, like there's so much oxygen sucked up by all of the screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
It's why I couldn't agree with you more, Dan, when people say to me, oh, I don't know, this is so terrible. I just say, hey, maybe put your head down, put the blinders on to the national stuff.
Yes.
And get engaged with your local electeds, get to know them. Local electeds are incredibly responsive. If you feel like no one's listening to you, I have a tip. Call your local alderman or email them. I guarantee someone will get back to you. Like, call your state assembly person. Call your state senator. Someone will nearly certainly get back to
you. Absolutely. Participation is power.
Absolutely. Folks, that's Dan Schaefer. He is the political editor at Civic Media. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about things from 2024 that I think are historic, you know, once in a lifetime events. And that was the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. In addition to the Maggie Dawn, why did Donald Trump win, five factors, which are existential economic angst, which is in good faith, the charismatic messenger that people believe is authentic, the otherizing of groups to villainize, the metastasizing of that, the information sewer that let all that grow, and then the false notion of zero sum and that we're all in a dog-eat-dog world. Those five things, you could maybe add the assassination attempt. I think it was big. I think it moved a lot of people. It was sort of the symbolic embodiment of Trump's argument that I have been targeted, right? Mm-hmm. That I am actually the victim here, and you watched it happen. Where do you put it on sort of impact on the election spectrum?
I think you're right. I think it's been totally overlooked as something that's really important. And I think one of the things that, you know, has come out in some of the post-election polling and analysis and all of that is that people who don't necessarily follow the day-to-day news tended to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
But what I think it probably, if you're not somebody who follows the day-to-day news, if you're not part of the, you know, political discourse on a day-to-day basis, one story that you definitely saw
was
the assassination attempt and Trump's pretty remarkable response in the moment to that, right? I mean, I can disagree with him about anything, but like, you know, the way he kind of stood back up, and I think everybody saw that, right?
Yes.
Everybody saw that. No matter how much you pay attention to politics, everybody saw that moment. And then the RNC in Milwaukee immediately followed that. It was just days after the assassination attempt. And so it really was this just rallying around Trump as the candidate, Trump, you know, surviving this assassination attempt. I think it was a huge factor.
Yeah. If all you knew as a or all you really like cut through the noise to you was the assassination attempt, Biden dropping out.
Right.
And you're overall like, this sucks from the post-COVID, you know, malaise that I think many of us are still struggling to break free of. And of course, the economic contractions that happened after that. And, you know, pocketbook economics always trail national economics, right? And and if all you heard or that resonated with you was assassination, Biden dropping out, and everybody's, all the Dems are saying is that the economy's fine.
Yeah. And everything's more expensive. And I'm,
like, ridiculous. Absent and, contrary information, like that equates to a vote for Donald Trump. And that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah.
That was historic, the dropping out. I mean, holy cow. I think historians, you know, the immediate, my immediate take on that was, you know, Biden will be hailed as a hero, you know, for doing this. I presumed, incorrectly so, I'll say this about myself, that Kamala would win.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to me to see how history judges that. To wit, what were you doing running in the first place? Why didn't you drop out earlier? Why didn't they, why didn't you, again, announce that you weren't running, allow a contested primary process, all of that. I think that one's, that that whole box, I'm going to say, it's TBD about how history will view it.
There's a great quote that I like about legacies, and it's, you're remembered by the sum of your accomplishments, but defined by your singular failure.
Your worst thing.
And then I think that is going to be what ultimately defines Joe Biden's legacy, his inability to step aside when he should have. And I think, you know, I think the biggest reason that I think that Donald Trump was reelected was because of Joe Biden, was because he was an unpopular incumbent running in a year where incumbents across the world are losing elections. And he did not step aside in time to give a process, to allow for a process, to allow for a real primary process, because nobody's going to challenge the sitting president who's running for re-election in a primary. Like, the people who made that argument were ridiculous. But I think, you know, to give Kamala Harris only 107 days to run and to not let the voters pick the candidate, even though, you know, they might have, they may have well have picked Harris.
Her anyways.
She may have been their can't pick, but to you know, I think that will ultimately be his singular failure. It was his decision ultimately led to Donald Trump
and his alone
again.
And his alone. And his alone. Ultimately, that is the decision to back out was his and his alone. The decision to run for re-election was his and his alone. Mm-hmm. And he's going to bear the consequences for that. I think a short postscript. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got one more segment with my good friend Dan. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Happy New Year, everybody. You're listening to the best of The Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for tuning in this holiday season. Don't worry, I'll be back live on the airwaves January 6th. Between now and then, we've got a great slate of guest hosts for you. What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Dan Schaefer with me. He's the political editor for Civic Media. Thanks so much for spending an hour with all of us today, Dan. You're going to have to turn Dan's mic on for me, Cardi.
Sorry about that,
Dan. That's all right. We want to pre-combobulate 2025.
That's right.
What are, like, the top few things that you think people should keep their eye on for 2025?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we talked about what happened in 2024. There were so many elections in 2024, and we're going to have more of them in 2025. But I think the main way that the cycle works in the state of Wisconsin is we have an election year and then we have a budget year. Right.
Yes.
So I think if we're looking ahead to what the big story is going to be for 2025, it is going to be the state budget. And I think it is going to be, you know, there's some really important battles to come on on K-12 education funding, on higher education funding, on tax cuts, on so many different things. And I think that is going to be certainly going to dominate the early part of the year for the policy conversation, which I know you love here on this show.
Sure do. Love me some wonk. We basically got into the discussion about education funding right at the top of our chat today. And I think that's a big one to watch in this next budget fight.
Yeah, and I think that is a big one. We're going to see, a debate on taxes. Robin Voss has already signaled he wants a tax cut. Republicans hitting their one economic policy button yet again that they have.
That's real fair right there. Have you ever heard anything salient from Republicans that is of any substance other than tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts?
Yeah,
they have. Sometimes you'll get a little deregulation, but deregulation is always a version of tax cuts, really.
Yeah. And so I had a chance to talk this week with Greta Neubauer, the Democratic minority leader, about some of that. And so she's like, yeah, we can have a conversation about tax cuts, about what that might be. But we want it centered on middle class and people who and working class and people who really need a couple extra bucks in their pocketbook, and not the wealthiest Wisconsinites and the big corporations, which
not Tim Michaels.
We've all followed Robin Voss's time as Assembly Speaker for long enough, where we're not going to be surprised by a tax cut that is very tilted in that direction. So that's going to be a really important debate coming up this year as well.
Folks, that is Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. We're pre-combobulating 2025. The budget fight is huge, I think, as well. And I'd like your thoughts on it. The Supreme Court race in April. Listen, Wisconsinites, you want reasonableness. You want maps where districts are competitive, where your elected officials actually have to respond to your requests and needs, no matter what side of the aisle you may lean towards or consider yourself a part of. This Supreme Court race will matter. Tell us what to expect, Dan.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. We, 2023, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race was the most expensive state Supreme Court race ever in American history, I believe. It's certainly possible that this will eclipse that. So as much as, I was saying that we have this cycle of we have an election year and then we have a budget year. Well, it's Wisconsin. We don't really get that much of a break from the election cycle. So we're kind of in this space right now where we're not really ramped up for what the state Supreme Court race will be. But Judge Susan Crawford, the candidate endorsed by the Wisconsin Democratic Party, and Brad Schimmel, the conservative candidate, it looks like it's just going to be a two-horse race in this one.
I have a funny Schimmel story.
Okay.
Brad is a short little guy.
Is he?
Yeah, real short. And he has met me on a number of occasions. Legally related stuff.
Sure.
Going back to when I sued the opioid manufacturers and distributors, when I was still at Milwaukee County, and just a bunch of things. And he's been a judge, etc. So we're both lawyers. We'd run into each other. I also happen to play the violin, and I've done it for a long time. So on occasion, I'll get a call. Hey, can you play at this wedding or what have you?
Sure.
So I played a wedding. And, you wear all black when you do this because you're not the thing, right? You just blend in. And Schimmel was the officiant, okay? And we were running through the ceremony, and I'm playing and doing my thing. And Schimmel keeps looking at me. And he keeps looking at me because, I'm 6 feet tall. I had heels. And eventually we got done with the run-through, and he comes up to me, and he's like, Where do I know you from? Right? Because I was there as a musician, and he was just, his brain was just like, where do I know this lady from?
Yeah.
And I'm tall. So I kind of started, so I helped him out a little bit. He's very nice man, interpersonally, very, very nice man. Again, a short little fellow.
Oh, that's a funny moment.
Yeah. Yes. So pre-combobulating, yes, the budget fight clearly and the Supreme Court race. Do you have a third item that you're keeping your eye on?
Yeah, I think it's we've seen so much of it, and we've talked about it a little bit, the referenda of things.
Yes.
And I think that's just going to be a really big story if we go forward in the same way this year. And I think, we don't have, we won't, I think it'll only have the option to do that in the spring election. So I think, you know, we'll turn right back around and get into election cycle for the Supreme Court race, which, like you mentioned, I think is going to be huge and tremendously important to keep that pro-democracy majority that we have on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. I guess the third thing, you know, and I've been reporting about it a little bit, Ben Wickler, what's he going to do? Is he going to win this race for DNC chair? And what type of, you know, kind of ripple effects that will have for the state party, for the, you know, the 2026 governor's race, for all sorts of different things.
Ben, we need you. Yeah, but so does the country, perhaps, and the party. Folks, that's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. You can find all of his great work and join the recombobulation by going to civicmedia.us. Is it still on Substack, too?
That's right. You can still subscribe to the recombobulation area. Get those email stories, all of the roundups of all of my radio appearances from week to week.
I've been getting those for years. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you. Thanks for your help today. I'm Maggie Dawn. Everybody, keep it locked.
You've been listening to the best of The Maggie Dawn Show. Learn more about the show and hear all of our past episodes at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Happy New Year, everybody. You're listening to the best of The Maggie Dawn Show.
I know what the lace. Ain't nobody crying.
Ain't what's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, and I am so privileged and humbled to have Senator Tammy Baldwin joining the Maggie Dawn Show. Yet again, we've had you a couple of times, Senator, and times have changed since the last we spoke. So it's really a privilege to have you back. Thank you for making time, Senator.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. I'm going to jump right in here because, boy, a huge vote went down recently on in vitro fertilization and trying to protect access for all families and Wisconsin families to that essential tool for building and growing our families. The vote failed. Yeah. This despite promises, empty promises, one might say, from the GOP candidate for president that this is something that should be done. Senator, I wanted to get your reaction to that vote, given your lifelong and certainly as long as I've known you as an elected official dating back to the House days and even local government, you've always been such a staunch supporter of reproductive freedoms. Tell me what that process was like and your reactions to where we stand today.
Yeah, so first of all, we all know someone who has struggled to start or grow their family. And in Wisconsin, you know, over 170,000 women and couples have struggled with the issue of infertility. And, you know, a lot of folks have suggested that people were being alarmist that there would be ever a question about access to in vitro fertilization and other comparable technologies. But frankly, after the Dobbs decision overturning Roe versus Wade, we're not being alarmist, we're being realistic. We see that this that access to in vitro fertilization is in jeopardy. We saw the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama make a ruling that halted IVF treatments in that state for a considerable period of time. That has been reinstated. But we need to make sure that there is a national right to access infertility treatment of all sorts, including IVF. And it was very disappointing to see, by and large, Senate Republicans, except for two of them, voting against making sure that there is access to infertility treatment across the U.S. Especially disappointing, as you said in your question, because Donald Trump on the debate stage said that he was a leader in fertility, whatever that means. We expected that if that was his position, that he'd be trying to talk to some of these Republicans in the Senate and have them flip their votes.
Yeah, it is beyond an empty promise to hear Donald Trump talk about this. He could have whipped votes just as he killed the border bill.
That's exactly right.
And he elected not to do so. When families in Wisconsin struggle, or American families struggle to access IVF because of these draconian restrictions that you have pointed out in states like Alabama, they have no one to thank but Donald Trump and possibly your opponent in this upcoming Senate election, Senator Baldwin. I shudder at the thought of another Republican taking a seat in the Senate. I think it's critical for Wisconsinites to vote for you and protect your seat in the Senate, if on this issue alone. There are many others. We'll get to a couple of those. But Senator, you recently released a new ad addressing reproductive freedoms. Of course, IVF is part of this broader discussion. Let's take a listen to your new ad, Senator.
I'm Tammy Baldwin. I approve this message.
We found out our baby had severe fetal abnormalities and that my life was at risk. But Wisconsin Republicans' extreme abortion ban forced us to leave the state to get the care that I needed. It was a nightmare. Eric Hovde pushed to end Roe v. Wade. And in the Senate, Hovde would give Mitch McConnell the majority to ban abortion nationwide. No exceptions for rape, incest, or the health of women like me. What is wrong with these guys?
That about says it all. It puts the face of families and women and their partners, right? This is about men too. And if they love and are married to women and are trying to plan families. Senator, what is your message to Wisconsin voters with this clear choice on the ballot here in the state for our senator's seat this November?
Well, the issue is about who decides. And Eric Hovde thinks politicians should decide women's health care. But I say women should decide women's health care. And so I'm leading the fight in the United States Senate to restore Roe by putting it into our national laws. I lead a bill called the Women's Health Protection Act, which would codify Roe, and also take the additional and very necessary step of telling states like Wisconsin with its 1849 criminal abortion ban, and Texas with its 6 weeks ban, and Idaho with its penalties of leaving the state to get health care, that you can't pass all these laws at the state level that interfere with the rights and freedoms that are associated with Roe v. Wade.
It's absolutely essential. And I think, again, pointing out, if folks, if you're listening right now and access to IVF is important to you, if you know someone who has struggled with fertility, then I encourage you to read about Eric Hovde's positions on abortion and on IVF, because the choice in this issue could not be more stark. Senator, I also wanted to ask you a bit about your lifelong commitment to a fairer tax system. Every day on my show, I do a segment called Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. And often we have millionaires coming on saying that millionaires and billionaires and our country's most profitable corporations should pay their fair share. And that means paying more. You have been a tireless advocate on this in preparation for our interview today. I literally have a stack of documents of all statements and legislation that you have proposed to make sure our economy works for the middle class. Again, on this issue, when I think of your record and your opponent, a rich out-of-state banker, it conjures up the old Monopoly guy in the top hat, right? It couldn't be more stark. Senator, I wanted to give you the opportunity to speak to our listeners and tell them about the work that you've done to make the tax code work for the middle class.
Yes, so absolutely. And when I think about taxes, I think about helping families who are struggling by lowering their taxes and making the big corporations and the super wealthy pay their fair share. And I've done that. I've voted to increase childcare tax credits, as well as the child tax credit, which is a distinct tax credit, because it's expensive to raise a family, to raise children, and to have extra dollars in your pocket to help pay for the diapers and for the childcare, which is extremely expensive. I have voted for what was the biggest family tax cut in generations during the pandemic, when we increased the child tax credit significantly. But I also voted to put a corporate minimum tax in place so that companies that you read about, like Amazon and Eli Lilly, who were paying zero in federal taxes, now at least have to pay a minimum corporate tax. And meanwhile, my opponent, Eric Hovde, is proposing, if he were elected, a new $4 trillion tax cut that would go to corporations and the wealthy, which is the last thing that Wisconsin or Wisconsinites need right now.
I also, Senator, wanted to give you an opportunity to speak on, there have been proposals for nationwide sales taxes, which we all understand is a regressive tax, which is a fancy word for this, making poor and middle class people pay for the tax breaks that accrue to billionaires, millionaires like your opponent, and tax cuts for corporations. Donald Trump is proposing his own effective sales tax that will again harm middle class families. Your position on these sales taxes, on the Trump tax, has been consistent and unequivocally in the negative. Again, I'd like you to give you the opportunity to draw the distinction between your position and your opponent's.
Yeah, and let's just talk about the regressive nature of the sales tax, because, you know, some people think, oh, it's like a flat tax, everyone pays. But think of, if you're a multimillionaire, the percent of your income that goes to things that are charged with sales tax, like your groceries or, you know, it's a tiny, tiny percent of your overall income. But for a hardworking family, the products that they have to buy, I used groceries, but that was the wrong one to use, because a lot of food items are tax-free, sales tax-free. But let's just look at, you know, things like getting new sneakers for the kids as the school year begins, getting school supplies, getting...
Those diapers,
right. that you're spending a much bigger percentage of your family's income on these things that are subject to sales tax. So by percent, it's much more of a regressive tax than, you know, the income tax and its progressive rates. Yeah. So we really can't hike up those things that have just a disproportionately negative and harmful impact on working families.
The way I like to say it, Senator, is if you're middle class and you get a paycheck, you're spending the bulk of your paycheck on stuff you need for your family. When you're a rich person, you're probably not even getting a paycheck. The bulk of your money is sitting in investments. You're not consuming a lot of goods, so you're going to pay much less of that sales tax. Sales tax, folks, the Trump tax, that's a tax on middle-class families. Last of all, Senator, when we spoke a few months back, Joe Biden, our president, was still top of the ticket. I will always have love and respect for Joe Biden, but I am thrilled to have the opportunity to elect Kamala Harris as the first female president of the United States. I wanted to get your reactions as just as a woman about this great moment, this great opportunity, this joy that we're all feeling in this political season.
Yeah, and as somebody who got to work side by side with Kamala Harris when she was Senator Kamala Harris, I've just seen how incredibly smart,
yes,
skilled. I saw her when she sat on the Judiciary Committee hold power to account. And with that prosecutorial approach to things. And then, of course, continuing that relationship as she was serving as Vice President of the United States. And, just like I lead the Women's Health Protection Act in the United States Senate, when the Dobbs decision came down, that was her, that was her assignment. She is going to be able to lead us in a way to restore the rights and freedoms that have been stripped away from half of America under Donald Trump's influence. And so I can't say how excited I am to see her at the top of the ticket, to see all the grassroots excitement across the state of Wisconsin. It is amazing.
I loved her on the Judiciary Committee as a lawyer, taking Bill Barr, Brett Kavanaugh, and putting them in knots. Go, Kamala. We will not go back. Thank you so much, Senator Baldwin.
Thank you. It is
always a privilege to talk with you. Good luck this November, and we hope to have you back before then.
All right. Sounds great.
Folks, that was Senator Tammy Baldwin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You've been listening to the best of The Maggie Dawn Show. Learn more about the show and hear all of our past episodes at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Happy New Year, everybody. You're listening to the best of The Maggie Dawn Show. I wanted to share with everybody, for many of us, this can be a bit of a lonely time, right? If you don't have big family, you don't have a ton of plans. And I think all of us have had those moments in our life where we've been a little lonely. And I wanted to ask you, Dom, what do you do when you're feeling either a little sad or a little lonely? Like, how do you pick up your spirits? Do you have advice to people that are listening to pick themselves up if they're feeling a little alone over the holiday season?
Well, I would just, it's very rare. Let's put it that way.
You feel lonely.
When I get the alone time, sometimes it's welcomed. You know, there's a lot of peopling going on in my world these days, and sometimes all the peopling can be overbearing as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of that as well, right? Not just
there's a feeling people can be lonely. Yeah, there's a feeling sometimes even when you're with a lot of people, you can still feel lonely.
Oh, right.
Right? Yeah. That is a very real thing. I describe often, I lived in New York, and sometimes I did feel lonely, but sometimes I felt also like I can be alone in the sea of people, and that worked for me. So I take your point.
Yes, yes.
So just maybe at times that you've been a little sad, what do you do to bring yourself out of that? Other than talk smack on the radio, my
besides
friend.
Besides that, go for a walk, go to the gym, go grab a drink, engage in the things that you enjoy. It's not always the social part of life, man. Self-care is a big thing. I'm a very social person, and so I draw energy from other people, and it gives me energy. But if there's a time then I would be sad. It's so very rare, man. When dad passed, I drank a lot. I guess that'd be the, but I wouldn't suggest anyone
don't do that. That's
not good. Engage in the activities that bring you joy. If it's reading, if it's sitting down reading a book, do that. If you like going to the gym, working out, you know, do something that you, if you're going to go to the gym, go do leg day. You know, if you're always a bench press guy, mix it up, go do some legs.
You know? Do some legs. You'll feel good.
Do some legs, bro. You know, get on that. Do some cardio, those kinds of things. And that's for me. And everyone's got their hobbies and the things they enjoy. I think when you have an opportunity, and you know, because it gets so busy.
It does.
It gets really, really busy. And I'm not a big fan of the word busy because we can, you know, dig a hole and fill it back up.
Well, it's like everybody has a lovely sense of humor, right? And it is very funny and is also very busy. I've never asked someone, hey, how you doing? And they're like, you know what? I'm real bored and things are super slow at work. I'm just coasting and phoning it in. Like, I don't hear that so much.
I hear it a little bit.
Well, that's just from you, Dom.
Phoning it in, Maggie. So, you know, it is tough. I think, you know, the difficult times for me have been really around family, you know, Pa not being there, you know, Ma not doing too well in the home and all that. So those things and reflect and enjoy the times that you had, you know, and I think those are, remember those things and try to then, you know, you can't replicate it, but engage in it. You know, we just went on a trip and we took our adult kids with us. Ella's 22, Izzy's 19. Yeah. And it's been so long. And I see them jumping in the ocean, in the waves. And they remind me. It's like when they were kids, when they're just little 6-7-year-olds, you know, it's so you can't recreate it. Those days are gone. Every minute that's gone, you can't go get back, but you can make an effort, to purposefully engage and try to do those things that bring you joy.
One of the things that, and I don't care where you are in the state of Wisconsin, it can be at a tavern, it can be after a religious service, it can be at your local grocery store. One of the things that I think can help people break out from a funk, if you will, is, hey, just go have a nice little conversation about nothing with a complete stranger.
Right. Yeah.
And like just... like sprinkle a little sunshine and smiles, and like usually in the state of Wisconsin, you will almost like 99.99999% of the time
go to the grocery store. Someone will talk to you at the checkout line.
Give a call. I don't know. Invent some questions, some assistance that you need. Call up a store. You will end up in a conversation. Right. Go to a Starbucks. Someone will end up in conversation because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
We reciprocate those kindnesses. I was reading up on just some of the things to break through loneliness or a little bit of funk. And obviously, I think some of it is like if you feel badly, sometimes you can't fight that. It's just like, oh, not having the best day, but maybe I'll just take a pause today and tomorrow I'm going to get up and go grocery shopping or get some things done.
Self-awareness and knowing that. Because not everyone, you know, some days are great, you know, some days are okay and some days are a little tough. And know that, you know, the great days are never going to last forever. Know the terrible days, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And being able to recognize those. And a lot of those feelings are all within our head. I think that's the other thing, too. I mean, it's so weird. I can wake up some days. Nothing has changed. The weather's the same. I'm the same weight. You know what I mean? And some days I'd be in a better mood than others. Why is that? You know what I mean? I don't know why that is. There's all sorts of reasons why that could be. But recognizing that today that's how I'm feeling. And then kind of, you know, adjust for that. Not to overcompensate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just, but like maybe today isn't the best
today's
day.
Today's the best day to do X, Y, or Z.
Right. And, well, reassess tomorrow.
Some days super efficient. Today, really efficient. Well, I was off for a few days, you know what I mean? Got back today, man. I was like, man, if I could work like this every day, I'd get everything done. Yeah. But, you know, that doesn't last. So, you know, when you're riding that wave, ride it out and get what you can done. And when it's a little slower, at least in your head maybe, and those things, and the work things and life things become a little more complicated and burdensome, oh, then back off, lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, you can. Throttle back.
Yep.
Again, I just want to wish each and every one of you and your families a happy, happy New Year's Eve. Please be safe out there. Take care of one another. That's one of the things that I want you to hear from me today. Make sure everybody gets home safely. Please do not drive. If you've had any cocktails, call that Lyft or Uber. Make sure your friends and family all get home safe. And I wish you all the best from me to you for a wonderful 2025. I can't wait to come back and be with you live for my first show in 2025 on January 6th. I'll be back in the chair. And again, my thanks to everyone at Civic Media.
In the game. But I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve.
You've been listening to the best of The Maggie Dawn Show. Learn more about the show and hear all of our past episodes at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.